Grace, mercy, and peace be to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our consideration on this Advent 4 Sunday, Christmas Eve, is written in Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with a lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. So far the text. In Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, the Christmas carol, Joy to the World, which we just sang, is of course a cherished favorite of ours. It was authored by the minister theologian Isaac Watts back in the year 1719. Isaac Watts was born in 1674 over in England, and already as a boy he displayed a literary genius and an amazing gift for writing poetry. His story is told of how when he was 7, his mother found him writing poetry, and when she observed how well the poetry had been written, she wondered if it was her son's work or maybe he had copied it somewhere. She was led finally to the realization, yeah, it is my son's work. Isaac has got quite a gift. Later, when he was a teenager, Isaac, another story of his life, he was complaining to his father that after he got back from a worship service at church, the hymns hadn't been written so well. His dad posed a challenge. Okay, son, why don't you give us something better? And during the course of his lifetime, he would go on, his lifetime of 74 years, to author over 500 hymns, including 15 which are in our Lutheran service hymn book, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways, Oh God, our help in ages past, Oh bless the Lord my soul, and those last two hymns that were based by Isaac Watts on various psalm verses, of which we have 9 total in our hymns, in our hymnal, written by Isaac Watts based on psalms, including paraphrase of verses from Psalm 98, Joy to the World. This morning we want to focus our attention on this particular hymn of Isaac Watts, based on Psalm 98, under the theme, as you note in your bulletin, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us anticipate the gifts he's coming to give us. Noting, first of all, how exceedingly precious they are, and also how they are gifts that the Lord will make flow to us faithfully in an endless stream. So what are the gifts the Christ child, Christ our King, comes to give us, for which we praise him? Again, this Christmas, of which the psalmist speaks and Isaac Watts highlights in this hymn. We read in verse 1, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." Now, we hear that word salvation a lot, don't we? Run across it in lots of our hymns. But stop for a moment, friends, to consider the tremendous value of this gift, which we may, as Christians, sometimes take for granted. A fireman or first responder may bring salvation to a person trapped in a burning building by venturing into the inferno and leading the person safely out. A lifeguard may bring salvation to a swimmer who's in jeopardy of drowning by jumping into the water and pulling the person safely ashore. Jesus brings us salvation. How? By venturing into our burning down sinful world, suffering for our sins by first of all taking upon himself our flesh and blood so he could do that, suffer on the cross in our place, have his holy life drained from him to bring us a glory in heaven that will never end. Salvation. Another gift Christ comes to bestow. Psalmist writes, "He has revealed his righteousness to the nations," or as Isaac Watts put in his hymn, "the glories of his righteousness." You know, that was the word that Martin Luther early on in his life, every time he heard the righteousness of God, made him shudder, because he had the wrong idea that that was talking about something that his God required him to acquire on his own to deliver himself from the fiery pit of hell. Later, as you know the story of Luther's life, he came to the realization that the righteousness of God is something that he gives us freely for the sake of the Savior born at Bethlehem. What a Christmas present. Righteousness from God that has been imputed to you by faith. Along with that gift comes gift of peace. And the Holy Spirit leads us to the understanding that God distributes his gift of righteousness to us, not on the basis of our behaving good, not on our not being naughty, but nice, not on that basis, but for the sake of his goodness and kindness in Christ. A byproduct of that faith is that settled peace with which he fills our hearts. And I know all is right between me and my holy God, thanks to the manger child in whom I trust. And then comes another precious blessing, joy, the title of the hymn, "Joy to the World." We sing in another Christmas favorite, "God rest ye merry gentlemen," that is, be merry, be happy gentlemen and ladies and children. "Let nothing you dismay, for Jesus Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy." Joy in having such a good God who loves us with an everlasting love and proved it by sending us his own Son. "Make a joyful noise." That's how the psalm begins. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Break forth into joyous song. Sing his praises." Speaking of joy, I recall a visit that I made to a barber some years back, actually. Mentioned to the stylist I was a minister, and she asked the church that I was serving and what it stands for, and I can't remember exactly what I said, but something to the effect that our church is a Bible teaching church that seeks to be faithful to the Bible in every respect, everything that the Lord teaches us in his word. And our centerpiece message is Christ crucified for sinners and risen from the grave to bring us life eternal and everlasting joy. She shared that in her church, they like to do in their worship services, joyful things like jumping and clapping and moving around a lot. And we get pretty excited in our worship, she said. I mentioned to her, you know, that's great to express our joy in the Lord. We want to do that. Sometimes it's like the water currents deep below the surface of the ocean that's running strong, but nobody can see. And that's the joy, especially, that God gives us through his son, Jesus. Sometimes maybe we need to be encouraged to exhibit more outward joy, but even when we don't exhibit it, isn't there a deep down happiness that comes from knowing we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord, who will one day bring us to heaven's perfect joy, regardless of troubles that sometimes sap our outward joy in this life. Still another blessing we have as Christ believers in the manger child, God's gift of helping us to grow in our faith and in our lives of Christian sanctification. Isaac Watts captured this thought in his carol in stanza 3 when he wrote, and as we sang, "No more let sins and sorrows grow or thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found." Thorns started to grow in weeds in our world, as you know, after the fall into sin, and sorrows started to pop up in lives, also as a consequence of sin. In this stanza of his carol, Watts encourages us to offer a prayer that since Jesus at Christmas time comes to make his blessings flow, let's pray that he help us to trim off the sin thorns of our lives and to dispel the sorrow from our hearts, knowing what he has accomplished for us and what he is going to do for us in the future. It's a prayer the Lord also gladly answers through the Holy Spirit. He blesses us with the ability to live lives that resemble more and more the holy life of Jesus, to glorify him by producing fruits of the Spirit, love and joy, peace and patience, gentleness and self-control. So all these and many more, friends, are the blessings. Among the blessings you can anticipate your King bestowing upon you again this Christmas, one right after another, as we sang, he comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. And on that thought, too, I'd like to call attention to another special word in Psalm 98. It's in verse 3, where the psalmist writes, "He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel." And that word in the original, which we translate faithfulness, is worth spending a few moments talking about. Faithfulness is that attribute of our God and of our coming Savior that leads him to keep his word to us, even when we're not faithful. In fact, there's a passage Paul wrote in his letter to Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. For the Lord not to be faithful to his promises would be like going against his very nature. Remember the story of Moses at Sinai? When the Israelites fashioned for themselves a gold calf to worship. And when that happened, God, who knew what happened, informed Moses on the top of the mountain, "I'm going to let my wrath burn hot against the Israelites, and I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to make a whole new people just out of you instead." Remember Moses' reply? He implored the Lord to spare his people, to remember the promise that he had made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to multiply their offspring as the stars of the heavens and cause the Savior to be born from their descendants. I mean, why should the Egyptians say that you brought the Israelites out of their land with evil intent to slay them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth, Lord? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster you're threatening to visit upon your people. And the Lord's response, he relented. He chastised his people for their sin, but kept his promise to raise up a Savior through their descendants. And we see how Moses, up there on the mountaintop, pleaded with the Lord on the basis of his faithfulness. You can't go back on your word, Lord. It's not who you are. It's a comfort to know that the Lord is always faithful to his word, also for us in our everyday lives. So the mountains depart and the hills be removed, writes Isaiah. The Lord's steadfast love shall not depart from us, and his covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. The greatest example of that, of course, is the event that took place 2,000 years ago in a stable in Bethlehem. A little bit more on that word faithfulness this morning. The Hebrew word is amunah. Some of you may be aware that there's a brand of household appliances with the name Amana or Amana. Maybe you have a fridge at home or a dishwasher, a furnace, Amana. Ever wondered how an appliance company got the name Amana? It was founded back in 1934, so I read online, in a town in the Midwest, Amana, Iowa. And presumably the founder, George Forstner, thought that that would be a really good name for an appliance company, Amana, because he wanted customers to have confidence that their products are going to be faithful, dependable, and reliable. Purchase a fridge from us and you're going to be happy because it's going to keep working. Now that doesn't always happen, as you know. The fridge of the church broke down a few weeks ago. We had to buy another one. And the kitchen disposal at the parsonage broke last week. We had to have Fred come over and put in another one to replace it. Sure, you can relate to having an appliance replaced because the old one broke at an inopportune time. It was not amunah, not dependable as you hoped it would be when you bought it. What does the psalmist assure us of with regard to the Lord's words and promises? Once again, the blessings he bestows on us in Christ, very different. The Lord remembers his love and his amunah, his faithfulness to us, his gifts of salvation, righteousness, peace, joy, growth in sanctification will never stop flowing to us. We can sing this Christmas, every Christmas and through the year. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. To which we say, amunah, amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Away from your presence, not your Holy Spirit from me. to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.